Hello, everybody. Welcome to our group coaching call here for April 12th, 2018. It's great to be here with you guys. I'd like to start with something a little different. And in fact, I'd like to try this and do this with every call we jump on. I think it's a great way to start getting momentum and to break the ice. And that is for you guys to share a win that you've had over the past week or so. Now, let me explain what I mean by a win. To me, a win is anything that has happened to you over the past week or two that has just gotten you motivated in some way. It has nothing to do, or it doesn't have to be, something to do with landing a client or landing an assignment. It could be as small as, hey, you know what, I finally had an insight about how I think I'm going to position myself. I was struggling with this for a while, and now I think I see a way out of that challenge. I think I now see where I could go with this. It could be, hey, you know what? I was behind and now I'm finally caught up, or I've created a plan for catching up. It could be something really small, just something that you feel good about. And what I'd like to do is for you guys to just, you know, type in. If you're on the call page, just type in something you feel really good about over the past week or so, something that's given you momentum, all the way up to something really big, like, hey, I just talked to my first prospect, or I just got a response to a warm email, or I guess what, my website is going live by Monday. So just let me know, and we got some folks on the line here. Let's see, Ken, Arun, we got Andrea, Susan. Hey, welcome, Susan, Glenn, Tina. So welcome, you guys. We got some new folks this week to the group, and hopefully we'll get to talk here today and start getting things going. I'm anxious to get you started. So if you want to just share it real quick on the phone, star 2 on your telephone keypad, that's how you raise your hand. I'll see that, and I'll get you unmuted, or you can just type in a quick comment here. While I'm waiting, I do, and I don't want to put her on the spot, but Susan just let us know that she got talked to her for first prospect, which is fantastic, and they need an ad, and she is excited and a little bit nervous at the same time. So hopefully she'll be joining us so we can talk about how to best handle that that conversation in this process and how to price it. So she's in the education space, and it was from a warm email that she sent out and to a cold client, and they responded. They're a small IT firm, and they need an ad. They want a place in a magazine. They need our help, so that's fantastic. All right, guys, don't be shy. Star 2, if you want to share something, don't worry. We're all family here. Here we go. Here we go, Susan. Hey.
Hi.
See how I put you on
you?
The spot there? Doing well.
How are you doing?
Doing well, and how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. It took me just a minute to get set up, so that's why I wasn't right there when you started talking. But, I was so excited. I sent used one of the templates, you know, just kind of crafted it a little bit to fit the situation. I had done some, really just gone through online, kind of looking at vendors for the education space, and came across the one with, it's an IT firm and everything. And so I thought, let me just send. So I just started sending out, you know, our goal of trying to send 10 a week. So I sent out several and heard back from him. And so in the email, I had just said, hey, I noticed that you had some great testimonials on the homepage. Have you thought about turning those into case studies? You know, kind of like how your template reads. So that was awesome. To get a response, you know, like I about fell out of the chair. I was like, oh my word, somebody read my email and returned it. I can't believe it. So it was fun.
That is
so
awesome.
Anyway.
Well, we'll definitely talk about how to handle that situation.
Right.
And I got some ideas for you. And,
oh, perfect.
I think it's exciting. So,
perfect.
So thanks for sharing that. I'm just going to go around the room, get a couple more wins, and then we'll come back to
no problem.
To specific coaching.
Sure. No problem.
Awesome. That's great. By the way, for those of you guys who are just joining us this week, keep in mind Susan, some of the others on the call, they've been working through this process for a few weeks. So don't think there's anything wrong with you. You're just starting out. I just highly and strongly encourage you to take this one step at a time. Give yourself the time you need to do this right. My suggestion is one session per week, and then with an extra week during the website phase. And you'll see, this is a great process. It's the fastest, most effective way I know how to get this thing kick-started. But, you know, hopefully that'll provide some motivation that, hey, after a few weeks, you're starting to knock on doors and things start to happen. So let's see. We got Arun out in from Ohio via Las Vegas, right?
Yep, that's right.
Welcome. So what's cooking? What's going on?
Thanks. Win for me, I would actually say, follows the example you gave early on about positioning. So took me a few days and some real mental gymnastics to kind of throw down all my background experiences. I've done a lot of random things in my adult life. So trying to figure out what that meant in terms of positioning and what made the most sense for me, and had a couple of light bulbs go off the past 3 or 4 days. Because I have a fairly technical job, but I do a lot of technical manual review, technical procedures writing, that kind of stuff. I've been doing that for 10 years plus. And it just had dawned on me that there is definitely a market out there for clients who need to present complex information in a variety of terms. And that's what I do, what I've been doing, and actually what I teach people to do now. So, you know, it took me a while for some reason to make that kind of connection, but as soon as I made it, it seemed natural. So still early on in the process, of course, as one of the new guys, but yeah, it was a cool moment for me. So
that's great. I love to hear that. And by the way, one thing that I can tell you is don't ever discount the value of that just because it comes easy to you. And I'm not suggesting you are, but I find that a lot of people who have skills like that tend to undervalue them because anything that comes easy to you, you just assume, well, this is pretty straightforward, right? And that anyone
right.
can do this. They really can't. So I want to remind you of that because it's a very powerful thing, and it's actually rare to find someone who can take complex ideas and communicate the real value to, let's say, a business buyer or to an audience that is not technical.
Yeah, so that was actually my biggest, I guess, internal struggle with thinking, you know, there's nothing I bring to the table that other people don't already do. This has to be a dime a dozen type thing. And while I'm still working through, you know, my own internal mental blocks, I am coming to find that there is a big market for those types of people who can, and across industries too, who can take information
yes.
that's complex and terminology heavy or jargon heavy and make it usable for an audience that's, you know, a lay audience or an audience that doesn't specialize in that kind of thing. So, yeah, working through what that looks like to the outside world.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for the share there, Arun. It's great to have you in the group. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with some needs. And just, you know, the real question here is where can I help you? How can I support you as you're starting to go through this material? Where do you have questions? Where do you need feedback? Where do you need clarity? How can I help you make decisions if you're juggling a few ideas? Star two on your telephone keypad will raise your hand, and I can unmute you. And by the way, I'll keep reminding you of that. So star two is the easiest way to raise your hand. And I also recommend that everyone log in to the call page. So inside the training portal, you'll see there's a page for every call that we're going to have. And even if you dial in via phone, I strongly suggest that you still log into the page, because you'll be able to type in comments. You'll be able to have some more dialogue with me and with others. You can share wins, questions, and other things there as well. And the phone number is there too. So it's a great place just to go in and interact in several ways with me and with other people in the group. So again, star two if you have a question, and we'll get started. By the way, and also if you're there on the call page and you're somewhere where you can't really talk, let's say there's a lot of background noise or whatever, then you can always type in your question there as well. And I'll see it on my end. And okay, Susan, you know what? I don't see any raised hands yet, so I'm going to bring you on if you're okay, and
sure.
We can talk through this specific situation.
Sure, absolutely. So, first, let me say congratulations to Arun for coming up with his positioning. Those people are not a dime a dozen at all. So him being able to translate jargon and all that technical stuff into regular speak is awesome. I mean, I think that's huge. So good job for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. All right, so why don't you give us a little bit of background? Because I know a little bit, but for those who are here today, why don't you tell us what happened and then where you are right now with this prospect?
Okay, sure. Just so people know, I'm in the education space, and actually, like Arun, it took me a while to kind of settle on that. You know, after spending over 25 years there, I was sort of like, do I want to stay? What do I want to do? And one of the, I think, best things you ever said was, you know, start with what you know. And then if you, you know, a year or two from now want to change and head into a different direction, go ahead. But isn't the point to start with clients? And so once I took that to heart, then I just really started thinking about the fact that, yeah, you know, almost 20 years as a school principal and then taught before that, that I definitely can speak the language of people in education. So that's when I decided to target companies that sell to schools. And so I started, like you said, doing some warm email prospecting where these were people I didn't have any connection to at all, but just tried to send a warm email to them. And as I mentioned earlier, he had some very short testimonials on the front page, but, you know, they were good. I mean, these people really were thrilled with their service. And so that's when I decided just to send him an email saying, hey, I noticed you have these on there. Have you thought about turning those into a case study, blah, blah, blah. Just let me know if you use outside writers, that kind of thing. So then he responded to me and said, yeah, there might be opportunity here. So it took us a few days to finally connect. And then we talked on the phone this morning, and he his first need is a full page ad for a trade magazine, and you know, asked you know, can you do that? And you know, our thing is we always say yes, even though we don't really feel like we can do it. So I said, sure, absolutely. But then it could end up, you know, he also needs like brochures and sell sheets. I mean, just it could end up being kind of a long-term relationship, I hope. But with the full-page ad, I was just a little bit sort of like, oh, goodness. You know, do I send him a full questionnaire to find out more information? We were on the phone for about an hour, so I got a good feel for the company, but still had questions, you know, like, what is it you're going to try and accomplish with this, that kind of thing. So I wasn't sure what kind of a questionnaire you might have or recommend. And then I really don't have a clue about the pricing on something like that. And then the other thing is he doesn't really have a marketing department at all. So he certainly has no graphic designer or anything like that. So then, you know, is it best for me to try and hook up with a designer and tell him, hey, I can find one for you to put this, you know, to help finish this piece off or what. So I just really, I needed Ed Gandia right there. Right there at that moment.
Okay. No worries. we can make this work. So here's, first of all, let's take a step back, and I want you to think about questions to a prospect as really being of two different types. There's two different phases. Phase one is questions to qualify the prospect to make sure they would be a good to decent fit.
Uh-huh.
And just to see how they're thinking about this and to get an idea on budget and so forth. And then phase two is once you land the client, hopefully you land the client, is, okay, we're in. I'm in the door. Now we're going to do this work. Now I have questions about what we want to accomplish, deeper questions, more detailed questions about
right.
what
okay.
we want to do and how we want to do it. Okay.
Okay.
So I know that sounds like common sense, but I sometimes struggle with that, and I have to remind myself, okay, wait a minute. There's two sets of questions. There's questions to qualify, and there's questions once I have the opportunity, more detailed questions on the project, because now we've got to get to work.
Right.
So okay. Your first job right now is to make sure you have what you need to price the project and then follow up and then close the deal, right? Convert
right.
the prospect to a client. I wouldn't worry too much more. There's the graphic designer piece. We'll talk about that. But I wouldn't worry beyond that. I wouldn't worry too much more about all those other specifics until you have a signed contract, essentially.
Right. Okay.
So with that in mind, it sounds like you spent some time with them on the phone today. You have a lot of what you need to see they'd be a good client. And at this stage in the game, you're right. One of my mantras, and for those of you guys just joining us, is, you know, when you're new, say yes to everything. And that's really more of a mindset than a literal, you know, say yes
mm-hmm.
to everything.
But,
right, when you're starting out, it's not about prospect quality. You should practice qualifying prospects. But really
mm-hmm.
right now, the most important thing you can do is to get a client, because that's going to give you a huge momentum, and it's going to boost your self-confidence, and you're going to get so much practice, you're going to learn so much more, that right now it's not really about the money, it's about getting to this next step.
Correct.
That's what the real value is. It's not
right.
the, you know, whatever you charge. So it sounds like you have almost everything you need to price it, except your situation is a little different in that they need something that's going to involve graphic design, and they don't have a graphic designer. That's a little unusual, but it's okay. My recommendation, to answer your question directly, is I would not try to do the graphics myself. I would get a
right.
designer.
Right, okay.
Definitely.
Right.
You want to do this right, and, you know, if it's going to go in a trade magazine, you know, it's got to look right. You want them to put their best foot forward. So I'm not saying you're bad at graphic design. I'm just saying, you know, do it
oh,
right.
Oh, no, I totally, yeah. No, I totally agree. Yeah, I think that's
so,
absolutely.
So did they say anything about, were they asking you, hey, can you bring us a designer, or can you do the design, or where did you leave it there?
Well, I asked, you know, so do you have a graphic, and he said, no, we don't have anything like that. And I said, well, I can get you one, or something like that. You know,
okay.
Something to that effect.
So that's where you left it. Okay.
Correct.
So here's what I would do. The first thing you need, because when you look for a designer, they're going to want to know this anyway, is the ad specs. So I would go ahead and send them a quick email. Let them thank them again if you haven't already. Hey, great talking with you today. Hey, can you send me the ad specs from the magazine?
Okay. Got it.
And that's something that if he doesn't have it, if he turns around and asks the same question to the magazine, they'll be able to send him that.
Okay.
And it's going to be some stuff that when you get it back, you're not going to understand some of it. Don't worry
mm-hmm.
about it. It's kind of technical. But it's going to have what the designer is going to need, including
okay.
size and actual specifications in terms of color.
Okay.
So then the next thing is to find a designer. Do you have any connections? Do you know anybody out there who does graphic design?
No, I really don't.
Okay. No. So what I could do is I could hook you up with ours. Katie does all our design here. Mm-hmm. So for instance, all the handouts in the program, she mm-hmm. did all that. She does great work. I could connect the two of you, and I don't know how busy she is right now, but at a minimum, she could go ahead and hopefully provide you a quote. And,
okay.
So that way you can present the full package to the prospect.
Perfect. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
So let me write myself a note, connect with Katie. Okay. And she's great, and she's reasonable.
Okay.
She's not going to be, you know, like someone you'd find at Upwork, for instance. But
mm-hmm.
But I think for something like this, I would rather go with someone whom you know does great work and won't embarrass
mm-hmm.
you
right.
than,
right.
you know, somebody who you don't know, even if they got great reviews.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean,
that's
completely
true,
up to you. That would just be my advice.
Yep, I appreciate that.
So, and then when you were still kind of in the proposal stage, right, the quoting phase.
Correct.
When you put it together, offer just a turnkey package.
Okay.
And this is the ad, and which includes copy and design.
Okay.
And I would say in the scope of work, and you have access, because you've already gone through that lesson, you have access to my fee agreement.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I would use a short one. Keep it. Use a short one.
Right.
And just say it includes brainstorming, concepting.
Okay.
Calls related to the project.
Uh huh.
Ad copy, graphic design, and up to 2 rounds of requested revisions.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. And so that's it. For now, that's your main concern. Everything else is really phase 2.
Okay.
Okay. And I can send you something, and I'll post it to the group. So it's a creative brief that you can use to either send the client or to go ahead and have a call with the client at that point to questions about the ad.
Okay.
And these are more, not about the ad, this is really more about, okay, tell me about the target audience, you know, what are their, what objections could they present, what are their hot buttons, who are your competitors, some of these things you may already know.
Right.
You don't have to ask them. The way I do this is I always tailor my questionnaire, if you will, or creative brief to who they are, because I may already know some of these things.
Right, okay, mm-hmm.
So but that's all phase 2. Let's just worry about phase 1 right now.
Right.
So let's talk about pricing. Of course, you're going to be waiting for a designer. But, yes, you asked about in my fee schedule, I say somewhere between $1,500 and $3,000 for an ad.
Mm-hmm.
But as I recommend in that session, hey, you got to scale that back to
right.
a huge percentage off. And kind of the general rule I follow is, look, what is the minimum amount you would want to get for this?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the amount that you're starting to really sweat?
Okay.
So on the other end of the spectrum, you are starting to get really nervous. figure
yeah.
out what those numbers are, what that range is, and then quote a number in the middle between those
okay.
two.
Okay. All right.
So I'm not going to tell you what that is, but figure out.
Right.
And being mindful of the fact that, again, right now the most important thing is not the money, is to get your foot in the door. So it needs
right.
to be high enough to show that, hey, you're a professional.
Right.
But low enough to make it easy for them to say yes.
Okay. Perfect.
And let me give you a hint. The answer is going to be, you know, way less than the 1,500 to 3,000.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, and again, now here's a caveat. That's the start. You will bring those fees up gradually, and
uh-huh.
it won't take you long. So, again, okay. I'm not a proponent of charging low fees for forever. It's really, let's just get in the door.
Right.
And because the real value right now is the experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I was thinking that that lower fee also, if it gets me in the door, then, you know, if it leads to other things, then it's worth it in the long run.
It is. There is a downside, though, that I want you to be aware of is whatever you start with becomes kind of an anchor.
Okay.
So it's a little different with an ad because that's going to be very different from content. Like
right.
a case study or some of the other things they mentioned, but you're, I wouldn't say locked in, but you are now, you've created kind of a baseline.
Okay.
And, but that's okay. I mean, look, this is not going to be a client you're going to have for 5 years. You might, but the first few clients you land are tend to be one-offs or maybe
right.
two, three projects. These guys okay. might be six projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Super helpful.
All right. So just to make sure, what are your top couple of takeaways and actions here? Just
okay.
To make sure
so,
we're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, one thing I need to kind of is connect with Katie so that then I can come up with a proposal. That just kind of talks about the turnkey package that I can put together for them. And then start to look at, you know, getting the specs for that actual ad. So I know, so I can give that to the graphic designer so that we know what we're looking at and how to do it. And then sit there and come up with a fee that I think would be reasonable.
Between the minimum and the maximum. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and then once we have something like that settled, then come up with that creative brief.
There you go. One last little thing, and this will come in once you get the number from a designer, whether it's Katie or somebody else.
Right.
I would mark that up by, let's say, you know, $100. $150,
okay.
Just because there's going to be some collaboration between the two of you.
Okay, I got you.
That
right.
is, you know, some time and effort.
Right.
FYI, for future knowledge, what I do, eventually what you'll want to do is mark it up even more than that.
Okay.
When I bring people in, other professionals, I mark up their fees substantially, depending on the amount.
Right.
Because it's not just the project management time and effort, but I'm creating value, and that value needs to be compensated.
Perfect.
Good. Yeah, so.
Awesome. All right. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome.
So much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. Keep me posted, okay?
I will. I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. No
Bye.
Problem, Susan. All right, guys, again, star two, if you have a question, believe it or not, it's an open floor right now. I don't see any raised hands. So if you thought you raised your hand, I'm not seeing you. We got Randall. Hey, Randall, I think Randall is in Georgia, too, southern neighbor of mine. Love to hear from you. Linda. We got Andrea. Hey, Ray, welcome. Ray, new to the group, actually kind of a neighbor as well in Alabama, and Rafiq, he's a veteran here, Cheryl, and a couple others. I got numbers, but I don't really have names. So anyway, would love to hear from you. Let us know what you're up to. What are you working on? That'd be another thing I'd love to hear about. What are you currently working on right now? Where are you in the process, even if you just started? Even if all you've done is gone through the welcome session, would love to know where you are right now. Linda just sent me a note. Actually, she sent it a little bit earlier, so let me go ahead and read this. Let's see. Hey, Ed, I just had a light bulb go off when I heard Arun, and I wanted to thank him for his comments. Arun, you're like a rock star today. I've been struggling with positioning for several weeks, and I think Arun's comments have shown me a viable path. As I told you before, I worked for more than 20 years as a technical writer, and although you suggested I start with positioning myself as a generalist because I've been away from the computer field for so long, I've not been able to tear myself away from the idea of leveraging that experience. I also had a great deal of experience translating technical jargon into language understandable by the layperson. Arun's idea of using that skill as a jumping-off point for positioning resonated with me. I'll be looking at that in the next few days. Thanks, Ed, and thanks very much, Arun. Awesome. Hey, great to hear. Yeah, that's it's just another way of looking at things. And by the way, don't feel like, well, you know, that's Arun is already doing that. There's no monopoly on this. You guys kind of need to understand that there are literally tens of thousands of prospects out there, way beyond that, really. And there's room for a lot of writers. Keep in mind also that the positioning turns out to be a very unique thing. So just it's not just the way you're positioning yourself in terms of the angle you're going with. To me, this idea of translating technical jargon into language that the layperson can understand, that's the angle. But then everything else is unique to you. So your positioning is a combination of all those things, right? It's what you do, for whom, what makes you different, and why that difference matters. And there's no way to not mix your uniqueness there in terms of your experience, your skills, and your personality, and all those other things. So at the end of the day, all these positioning statements end up being quite unique, even if you're using a very similar hook to somebody else in the group. All right, let's see. Star two, if you have a question. No raise hands. Can't believe it. We go from two-hour calls to suddenly everyone wants to be quiet. Here we go. All right, we got Rafiq stepping up to the plate. Rafiq, how are you?
Hey, Ed, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. What's cooking?
Again, I think, yeah, Arun's a rock star. I just wanted to say I struggled the same as he mentioned in thinking that, you know, I understand a lot of technical jargon, the technical architectures, concepts, terms, and being able to translate that into business value, you know, simple language. Everybody can do it, but it turns out a lot of people can't because I work with them on a day-to-day basis right now.
Yeah.
You know, and so my update is that, you know, I'm right now in the value delivery phase of it. I've got two clients I'm working with that I'm trying to get content out for, written pieces out for. You know, I've gone through the phases of, oh, man, now I have to deliver. Can I actually do it? Do I have it in me? And then as you start doing it, you discover capabilities in yourself that you didn't realize you had, you know? So my question to you is, I think, what happens to people who have found a client? Do we continue? Because one value, huge value for me from this whole process has been the community and being able to talk and almost like a mastermind. So what do, for example, do I continue to be on the calls or do I have access after this, or how does it work?
Yeah. Okay. So here's how it works, and it's all based on the honor system, guys. My commitment to you is I will work with you for about 9 weeks with the training and with these calls, or until you land your first client. So I want to continue to support you until you land your first client for up to a year. Figure, you know, we got to put some kind of limit to it. For up to a year. So once you land your first client, which you have technically, the whole idea is just let us know, and then we just got to make room for other people in the group. I have a different group, and I can let you know about it offline, for those who already have clients, and now we're trying to get to the next critical milestone, which is $2,000 a month in income consistently. I know that seems like, well, gosh, I want more than that. I get that, but here's what I found $2,000 a month consistently is a key milestone, and it's very important to look at it as a baby step, even if your sights are much higher than that. So that group is a little different in that same thing. We have calls very frequently, but everyone's working on individual projects because everyone's kind of in a different place. So I look at where you are, where you're looking to go, what you're doing right now, and then I put together a game plan for you, and then you're working independently, and then we're meeting like this, and these calls kind of a mastermind. So I'll send you some info on that to see if, you know, if it's something you want to explore. But that, for you guys who are thinking, okay, what comes next, that's a next step that's available to you once you land your first client. It's completely optional. You're not going to find me trying to upsell you and doing the hard sale or anything like that. It's just something I have available if and when it makes sense.
Got it. And then the Facebook group?
So the same thing with the Facebook group. So there's a Facebook group for that particular group. The cool thing is that I think that's going to serve you better if you decide to join me there, because you're now working with people who already have been, or they already have clients. So now they're trying to get somewhere else. So it's a more relevant discussion once you land clients, you know?
Got it.
Yeah. And it's a very active group. So it's right now, I got 30 people working in that group, and they're awesome. All kinds of backgrounds, just like here. It's just the main difference is they've already landed their first client.
Right. Okay, thank you. I will
for
that information from you later today or tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, I'll send that to you. Thanks, Rafiq. And for those of you who don't know Rafiq, so again, he started a few weeks ago. He's landed. Rafiq, has it been one or two clients?
Two clients.
Awesome. Yeah, that's so he's cranking, and you know, everyone's different. So you'll find some people, they start taking action within 3 or 4 weeks. Things start happening. Some people it takes 12 weeks, sometimes a few months. It really depends. Action, execution is a huge factor. But there's always the element of luck and chance, and you know, that's something we can't predict. By following this framework, what I have noticed, guys, is we can drastically shorten your time to results. So that's why I strongly recommend that, you know, you might be seeing other things out there, like, oh, what about this? Should I try this thing? I heard about this. I really want you to stay focused on what we're working on here. Don't get distracted. Follow the process. I'm here to support you, and I'll be there, as you can see, even now with Susan. She's got a live one. What do we do? What do I ask? What do I say? I'm here for you there. All right, so Ray, yeah. So just got your note, Ray, here in the webcast. He said, Ray is new to the group. He says, presently focused on the Christian and nonprofit space. I've sent out warm emails and got thank you for your message responses. I need to do more to develop a list of prospects. Awesome. So, Ray, here's what I recommend. So you've tried that in the past. I recommend you kind of pause that effort for now and then just start at the very beginning. So let's go back to step one. Let's figure out your positioning. Let's just take another look at that, and let's discuss it. So once you've gone through that homework, and that's something I strongly recommend you spend a little bit of time on, don't expect immediate answers. I mean, you've heard from a couple of folks here who've had to let that marinate for a few weeks. So sometimes it takes that long. I recommend you give it at least a few days, and let me help you with it. If you got questions, if you're struggling with a couple of different ideas. And so let's start there. Then let's turn that into some revised web copy. If you already have a website, let's just revise it. And then let's start working on the prospecting. So we're going to take a few steps back. just to make sure that everything is set, and then we can get back to prospecting. But it's great to have you here, man, and fellow Southerner over in Alabama. All right, guys, star two, or if you want to type in a question or comment, you can do that as well if you're on the call page. One thing we're probably going to be changing here is we're going to add a chat feature to this. So I think it's going to be a little bit more efficient. So we're working on implementing that here over the next week or two. So just know that that's coming. Make the calls even more interactive. All right. No questions. Any issues? Anything I can help you with? Cheryl, Glenn, Andrea, Randall, Tina. Hey, Andrea.
Yes.
You there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
How are you? Yeah.
I'm good.
Welcome.
Thank
you. Doing well. Good to hear from you.
Thanks. I'll try to keep this short. My background is I'm a nurse practitioner, and I retired in December. But over the past year, I've been taking AWAI programs, learning how to write, and took the accelerated course and some other things. That's how I found out about you, actually. And took Josh Boswell's course on the Simple Path. But I feel like I never did marketing before and knew anything about marketing. So I feel like I need to know a lot more about marketing. But in the meantime, I do have a website. And I'm starting a blog page that's not up yet, but it will be soon. I guess my question is, I feel like I need more control of my time. I feel kind of scattered. I feel like I'm trying to do so much at one time. I'm trying to find prospects. I'm going on LinkedIn. I'm trying to write articles. I feel I'm trying to do so much stuff. And at the end of the day, I know I've gotten something done, but I would like to be a little more efficient at what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, I hear you. That's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired just listening to everything you're doing.
I thought it would be a little easier once the website was up, because that was a feat in and of itself. But anyway.
Well, so tell me where you are right now in with this course. Where are you in the process?
Oh, let's see. I finished the position yourself section. And I've also done I went through the separate warm email program, which was extremely helpful, by the way.
Okay.
That's really good, that program.
Great. All right. Well, super. So you have a good primer. We're going to get to that in session 5. But because you already know that, I think what it's going to do is going to solidify your understanding of that. And it's going to make it faster for you. So you've gone through that. Have you gone through the exercise in that session?
The exercise in
the positioning training?
The decision tree?
Well, there's the decision tree, but there's a whole exercise there to go through with a bunch of questions that I'm asking you to answer and to mull over.
I may not have gotten to that part yet.
So go back to session 1, and you'll see there's a whole exercise, and it's a whole PDF, and then I have an audio where I walk you through it. What we want to do, Andrea, is you got a lot of things going on. My recommendation, my strong recommendation, is to hit the pause button and all those things, Okay. Nothing bad's going to happen by doing that. In fact, it's all good. Hit the pause button and then just focus on this particular process like it's the only thing you got. What you're going through, you're not alone, believe me. You got a lot of things going on. What it's doing, though, is it's diluting your focus and creating frustration, and it could lead to burnout because of the overwhelm and confusion. So go back to session one. Here's what I would do. I would go through the handout because it's a really good summary, and that's going to get you back in there. And then go through that exercise on that session page carefully. Take your time with that. Take a couple of days. Usually what I find is you'll be able to answer a lot of the questions fairly quickly, but you need to let that marinate for a couple of days, if you know what I mean, right? You come back to it, it's like, oh, you know what? I just thought of something else. So come back to it, and then let's make some decisions on your positioning. And that's really where you need to start. And let's take it one step at a time. Don't worry about LinkedIn right now. Don't worry about your website. Don't worry about prospecting. We're going to get to all that. Trust me.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you can do that, I'm telling you, you're going to be much happier, less stressed, and you're going to get better results faster.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. You're absolutely welcome. And I'm here. I'm here for you. So as you're going through it, if you got questions, you know, ask me in the forum, ask me in these calls. There's no stupid questions, so don't feel like, you know, you can't ask.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you're a nurse practitioner. That's, you know, if you can do that, you can do this.
Well, thanks. I figured I could.
Awesome. All right. Great stuff. Let's see. Hey, Arun. I got you on.
Hey, okay. So real quick, first off, to Andrea's point, she's definitely not alone. I've had the same struggle trying to write for a couple of different places and looking at the website and going through the sessions. And I don't know if this will help, but for what it's worth, for me, I know I still need to take breaks as I work through the sessions, as I work through, you know, what is hopefully a longer-term career anyway. So you still need breaks to kind of step away and think. And then in those breaks is when I do, like, article writing or outlining or kind of what I call the more selfish type of writing that I just want to do. So I don't know if that helps, but for me, I use them as breaks.
Oh, so I like that. I like that.
To think about them, but they're not the focus. Because, yeah, I had the exact same problem, and I'm also working full-time and trying to balance everything. And, yeah, it's I have no doubt it'll be worth it, but it's tough at the start. So.
Yeah, I think there's something to switching gears. So it breaks can, like you said, can take different forms. One break is, you know, just going out to the patio with a tall glass of water and just relaxing and just not doing anything, leaving your phone inside, right? And, but there's another kind of break where you're still working, so to speak, but you're doing something very different.
Right.
And you need to switch off different parts of your brain. I think that's really sound advice. And one of the things that I find is people like us tend to be – I've worked with hundreds of people, and I see the patterns. They're very clear to me now. We tend to be very curious people, and we're also lifelong learners, which means that we can't get enough out of books, out of courses, out of information, articles. That's a great quality, but it has a dark side to it as well because there's no way to consume it all, you know.
No.
So it's easy to get overwhelmed.
So I did have a question. I know this is
– Yeah,
I've been thinking about this for a while, and I know it's kind of beyond where I am at the moment, but for those of us who are still working, so I'm working a full-time job while I start out here. The goal, of course, is to transition in the future. But at what point, if ever, when you're either discussing with a prospective client a project or you have landed a client, is there ever a point where you present to them, hey, I am working a full-time job, and so that results in longer lead times, lower fees? Like, I guess really the question is there ever a point where those two worlds, you can present them both to the client to make sure they have the whole picture, or does it actually as long as you account for all that stuff behind the curtain, does it not matter? If that makes sense.
It's a great, yeah, great question. I went through that myself. If you don't know if you know my story, but I would transition over a 2.5 year, 3 year period while I had a day job. And that was
okay.
A huge concern of mine. And I will tell you, it falls in the category of things that I worried a lot about that ended up not being an issue. It's always other things that you don't think about that end up becoming an issue. But so here's what I would recommend. This is the advice I got when I asked around early in my business, and it was very sound advice. I'm glad I took it. Don't go out of your way to tell prospects and clients that you have a day job. They don't need to know. It's not, as long as it's not going to impact your work, and it won't, then don't. There's no reason to even say that. Keep in mind that a traditional freelancer is not going to be any more available than you are right now. If I'm good and I got clients, I can't jump on your project this afternoon and have a first draft for you tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's true.
When you think of it that way, it's not unusual to say, yeah, that sounds great. So let's go back to Susan. You know, she's going to do this full page ad.
Right.
I need a week to get you my first draft. You know, that's not unusual. And now, it could be that Susan's got a day job, and that's why she needs a week. Or it could be that she's got three projects on the go right now. So give out lead times. Now, of course, behind the scenes, what you're having to do is you have to work really hard. I mean, I know
right.
I pulled
oh, yeah.
a couple of all-nighters, you know, and I mean, I did what I had to do. But to the client, it's going to look seamless. That's what I wanted. So as long as you can do that, then don't worry about it. Don't go out of your way to say that. And depending on what kind of work you do, you know, if you have some flexibility, I tell people, look, you know, schedule. If you got to schedule a call, do it during a lunch hour, if at all possible. And even then, it's just like another freelance. When I give my clients, hey, listen, we got to talk about this. Can you talk tomorrow at 12:30? I don't say, when do you want to talk? I give them one or two options. And rarely do they say, oh, that's not going to work for me.
Right.
You know, what else? Usually they say, well, okay, well, out of those two, this one works better. So if you have time, you know, if you have breaks. Sometimes I had to take off. I had to do a vacation day here and there because I had this client work that I needed to complete, and I needed to take, you know, a Thursday and a Friday off or a Friday.
Yep.
So that way I had, like, the whole weekend. So you just got to get creative.
Oh, that makes sense. Actually, the comparison to a traditional freelancer or just somebody who's farther along who, yeah, to the client it's transparent. They could just have three or four other clients. That makes sense. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a good freelancer is not going to be able to talk whenever. Good freelancers, any good professional is going to say, well, listen, I do calls in the afternoons, or I got 12:30 right now or 1:30 Eastern, which one works better for you?
The better you are, the higher in demand you would be, so. That's what it looks like on the outside. Yeah.
Clients don't expect you to pick up the phone. I never, ever pick up the phone. I just don't do it, even if it's a number I recognize, because I'm on a schedule, and I have times when I return calls, and, you know, that's when I do it. So it's not unusual.
Cool. Okay. Cool, thanks.
You bet. Yeah, great question. And I know several of you are juggling a day job, including some new folks in the group. So just know it's on the other side, it looks completely different. I had a client for, I want to say, 18 months. They never knew that I had a day job. And honestly, they wouldn't have cared anyway, but I just never brought it up. You just make it work. Ray says, thanks for the advice. We'll be working on homework. Awesome. Yeah, Ray, it's great to have you in the group. Just let me know where I can help, okay? All right, guys, star two if you have a question, need feedback, anything's troubling you. Need wine recommendations for the weekend. Anything's fair game. All right. I don't see any raised hands. Let me just check the Q&A. All right. Nothing there. We'll go ahead and wrap up for today then. I want to encourage you to ask questions as you think of them in the forum. So our Facebook forum is a great place to interact, not just with me, but with others. We have a Q&A thread that we do every week. And the reason we do it that way is just to group all the questions and my responses into one place, because Facebook is really funny inside groups the way it does this. So don't start a new thread if it's a question you have. If you want to share something, feel free to start a new thread. But just find the latest Q&A thread for the current week and just reply to it. And that's how you can ask a question. And I'm there usually every business day. I try not to go there on the weekends, just try to disengage a little bit and answering questions. And I'm here to support you guys. I want you guys to be successful. I really do. I want some great success stories out of this program. And listen, you do the work. If you commit, you'll see from others who have been through this process, I will meet you there. So I'm ready to support you and make sure that you land that first paying client. And, of course, you go beyond that point. So look forward to working with all of you guys here over the next few weeks, for those of you who are just joining us. And we'll talk again next week. Our next call, let's see here, is the same time next week, 1 o'clock Eastern time. We'll send out reminders, of course, but let's continue the conversation in the forum. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk soon. Take care.